Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for calling in today. My name is Jansen Brooks, and you're listening to the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show for Saturday, November the 5th, 2022. My, oh, my, how the year is going by. Yeah, so again, I want to thank everybody for calling in today. We have a wonderful guest today, Mr. Michael Briggs from Sacramento, California. Young 43-year-old businessman, entrepreneur, and just a hardworking young man. I'm so proud of him. He's a graduate of Luther Burbank High School, 1997, in Sacramento, and spent a little time at Consumers River College, and is rather self-taught in the audio music business. So we got a lot to talk about. But before we get started, let me just review everybody on the Council of Elders concept. It's a simple concept where people in the community, elders in the community, try to reach out to younger people to give them wisdom and understanding and help them navigate through life while at the same time listening to younger people because they have so much to give and so much to tell us about. So having said that, let me introduce Michael Briggs today. I'm about 26 years older than Michael, so he could technically be my son. but no, he's not. But Michael, thank you for coming on the show today. I know you're a very busy young man. I want to thank you for coming on the show today. Welcome to the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody, and God bless everybody on here.
Yes, sir.
How's everybody doing today?
Michael, I'm hoping everybody's doing well. We've got quite a few callers in today. Callers, as we were talking today, if you would like to ask Michael a question or make a comment, you can press the number 1 on your phone, and we will let you ask a question or make a comment. So, Michael, now you're in the Sacramento, Northern California area. Michael, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Hello, everybody. Well, my name is Michael Briggs. I am 43 years of age, born and raised in Sacramento. I was raised all around the South Area of Sacramento, so I went to a lot of the South Area schools. I grew up to be an entrepreneur myself. I have owned a couple businesses. I had a limo service at one time. I ended up having a tow truck service at another time. Right now, I am running a junk hauling business. So I do a lot of junk hauling, garage cleanups, turnovers, commercial and residential. I have audio visual production situation of my life. I have a record label, and my record label is actually called Show Boss Entertainment and Films, where we deal with music, we do videos, photography. I have did a lot of photography throughout the city at a lot of events. I have did work for the past radio station called 103.5 The Bomb. I have worked with a lot of different artists all around Sacramento. That's when it comes to that. Plus, I am an owner of a radio station myself. It's called the Radio Station Live. It's actually a website / downloadable app. Right now, we are in over 130 something countries. We have 12 different stations, from comedy to blog talk. To podcasts. We have a rock station. I have a lot of artists locally plus worldwide. That's all on there. And when it comes to the other audio, I do DJing too. So I have done a lot of events, dealing with weddings, school events, all the everything that deals with DJing, and you know, very, very well-rounded person when it comes to a lot of the audio visual and entrepreneurial skills, you know.
All right. Sound like you're very, very busy, man. I got to get with you and talk about that radio station that you have. That's something that I would want to learn more about.
Oh, yeah. I have the radio station. It's called the Radio Station Live. And we have some podcasters on there. I have a podcast on there that a couple of people that I know, like I have DJ Wongon's Wise Word for Wongon. It's on there. I have a guy named Dirty Weather 916. He has a podcast on there. One of the people, Mike Sackwitted TV, he has a podcast on there. Plus, like I said, I have comedians on my station. So I have comedians like Rico DeGray. I deal with a lot of people in Sacramento. And, you know, locally and kind of nationwide when it comes to a lot of other stuff.
Okay, so if I want to find your station, I go to, radiostation.live?
Yes, just type in the search bar, radiostation.live, all one word, and it goes straight to my website. And you can listen to it live.
Okay. That sounds something kind of like Blog Talk Radio, but it seems like
it's
got a wider...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good. Well, we kindred spirits then, my brother.
Yes, sir. You know, we've been running for about four plus years we've been running the radio station. We have one of my people that I work with, one of the co-owners, they're in Wichita, Kansas. So he's dealing with the Midwest. He has his artists in the Midwest doing a lot of good stuff and big things in their community and everything when it comes to this radio station. We're actually trying to get it on a video game streaming thing called Grand Theft Auto. Online, so people could listen to it while they're playing a video game.
Okay. I'm always interested in stuff like that. I'm gonna check the station out a little later on today. Mike. You know, I think I'm like 26 years older than you. I'm 69. You're 43. And
yeah.
I always, I always curious about, you know, different generations, you know. What's going on with 43-year-old generation these days, man?
Okay, well, you know, I think your generation is the baby boomers, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, so we are Generation X. So Generation X, it was the offspring of what the baby boomers brought out. So, you know, we was able to see the world change in a rapid way. You know, in my 43 years of life, I've seen a lot of stuff change, from telephones being on the wall to being on your hand, you know, walking around. The computers being real big, green screens with green words. And now you can walk around with a computer in your hand. You know, we got to see a lot of changes in a lot of different parts of life, from movies. You know, the Generation X, we was able to see a lot of stuff. You know, we was out before they start making people wear helmets. You know, he was a little more dangerous than they are now, where he was able to really live freely. You didn't mind your kids going outside and be gone all day, just tell them to come home by the street lights is on, you know. You didn't have to worry about the same worries you have now, that your kid might go outside and not come back. It was happening, but it wasn't as happening as right now. You don't know what's going to happen if your kid go outside, you know. So the Generation X, I believe that it was really, really a good span of life, and it went fast. It's going fast. So like a lot of our people, we was raised on video games and cartoons. You know, some people say, oh, that's childish, but a lot of 50-plus-year-old people are playing video games and watching cartoons because that's what we was raised on, you know. You know, the baby boomers, they was the ones making the stuff, and we just indulged in it. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing, beautiful generation. A lot of us look younger, you know, because we didn't partake of a lot of stuff that the baby boomers went through. So we at 50 and 40 in our 40s still looking like we're in our 20s and, you know, and 30s. You know, self-care, love and life.
We all want to look younger,
back. Yeah, man, it's a lot because a lot of the baby boomers, they had a lot of drugs going on. You know, that was the crack epidemics in the 80s and stuff. Kind of messed up the whole generation of life. Some people was in their 20s looking like they was already in their 60s. Like, ooh, y'all, life was hard.
Michael, I know we didn't talk about this before in our pre-interview, but you know, there might be some people on here that you might want to ask a question, you know. You might want to, and then we'll get some reaction to that. So if you want to ask a question to maybe your older generation, maybe somebody might want to give you some feedback on that. So you grew up, you graduated high school 1997. That was the year, let's see, musically, who was out in 97?
We was listening to a lot of Bay Area music, like the Loonies, that's Yuck Mouth and Numbskull. You know, they stem from like Shock G and the Digital Underground era, you know, and Drew Down and all them. Too Short, most definitely, Ice Cube, E-40 and the Click, you know, Spice One, all the way down to the people out here in Sacramento, like Brother Lynch, Sebo. You know, Luna 6, T Nutty, you know. Yeah, we were like a lot of Northern Cali music, you know, well rounded at that time. It was a very beautiful time in music that we believe, Spice One, you know, because it was a lot more freer, but it was like gangster rap. It's all gangster rap back then, but it was a lot freer in words, you know. Now it's kind of the same, but it's a lot different.
And there's a lot of people on the internet I see who feel that some higher powers in the music industry deliberately changed the lyrics in the music industry to affect young black people. Have you heard anything like that, or anything that you can speak on?
Actually, I believe that that's what happened, because before the real gangster rap era, there was a lot of feel good music going on from like Kwame, Heavy D, LL Cool J, Kid and Play. You know, you had Tribe Called Quest. You had all this music that was happy. It was feeding everybody happiness. You know, you listen to it, you want to dance. So it was like they wanted to change the dynamics of the music that I believe. I don't know if this is fully, you know, facts of it, but this is what I've seen from me growing up and, you know, stuff that I have heard and researched, that a lot of the higher-ups end up putting their money into a lot of private jails, and they had to find a way to, you know, put people in them. So they had to find a way to deter people from the happiness to bringing them in so they could fill up these, you know, jails, I believe, because that's kind of what happened. You know, music got a little more harder. People started doing a lot more stuff that was pertaining to what the music was saying, you know, and then, you know, that's how life started going. And just like now, the trend is whatever you hear on the song. If somebody says something on the song, you will hear that person saying it in the conversation. You know, songs are very influential, you know, so the influence of the music kind of made a lot of stuff, negative stuff happen. So they kind of pushed all the happiness out and brought all the more negative stuff in there. You know, that's why we don't hear Kid and Play no more. We ain't heard a Tribe Called Quest song, you know. You know, Leaders of the New School, all that hip-hop happiness, you know. Everybody had to go talk about violence, you know. That's what I believe, and that's kind of what I've been seeing from what I've been researching on music.
I heard a TikTok video with Kanye West recently where he was talking about how he feels that the music industry is pushing, you know, division, negativity, violence, and that's I think one of the problems that he had with it, and that the young musicians themselves would be happy to talk about anything that would be recorded, but when they're told, you know, you got to push, you know, negativity, violence, division, if they want to make money, then they have to do what the bosses say, you know, it seems like.
Yes. Yes, then that's kind of what happens. You know, they have to follow the trend. They have to, you know, you have to do what's popular right now. And they make what popular is popular. You know, so if everybody's talking about this, oh, we need you to talk about this a little more on there. You know, if you be like, well, I want, that's why a lot of artists got mad and they were saying that they don't have free roam to their music. They don't have their own intellectual property to the music because they can't be free thinkers, because they have to do what's trending so they can sell music, or if they don't, they get shelved, you know. So they have to follow the machine that they have. So it's kind of like, you know, I tell you to do this and you have to do this if you want to keep going. And I believe that because the thing about music, there's as many rappers as, you know, good rappers and artists that are really, really good in music, but they're not out there like that because they're not part of that machine. So, like, it's just like basketball players. Not everybody's that's a rapper going to become a famous rapper. Just like not every basketball player that's really good going to become a basketball player. You know, they could be really, really good, but they just not following the system, and so they could get to where they need to go. So, you know, it's kind of bad, and it's kind of bad because their system is not helping communities. You know, it's not helping how we're living right now. It's kind of deteriorating, making it deteriorate, you know. You're starting to see a lot more negativity being impacted.
Right. We got a caller from the 916, press the number one on your phone. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from and your question or comment, please.
Hi, my name is Earlene Gray. I just want to let Michael Briggs know I'm extremely proud of him, and he's been doing a lot in regards to music, in regards to the community, his DJing. He does a lot, so I really appreciate hearing his story and his thoughts. My question is, in regards to the killing that just happened, everyone's talking about it. Do you see the music shifting or changing? Because it sounds to me that a lot of people are tired of the injustice. A lot of people are tired of the killings and the shootings in our communities. And we are basically killing off one another. So do you see any change with that, and how do you see change happening?
When it comes to the change, it's not going to happen fast, just like how the extra rap music evolved to where it's at now from where it started in the 90s. So it's going to take a time, but this, you know, right now they're going to do the same thing they did all the time, do a Stop the Violence song. Everybody probably going to get on there like a self-destructive song, you know, and try to put the bug out there. But I see it changing a little because because it's more independent businesses and record labels that's coming out and learning how to make their own machine. So if they start pushing more music that's directed into a different direction, then it would do that. Like right now, it's a big shift on music when it comes to like Afro beats, African music. You know, a lot of people are starting to implement that inside their music. So it's kind of bringing a different sound to the music, rap music era. So it's shifting, but it's going to take some time, you know. So it's going to be, and it's taking a good time because, like I said, the new independent labels, people are being able to do what the record labels was able to do because they're learning their own machine and system. So if we're more independent record labels bringing out more music, positive music, then it can be a situation where the music will change. But the record labels going to still try to do what they're doing so they can keep their threshold solid because that's all their money. They don't want to lose their money. So they're going to try to keep the trending, keep on trying to take us in a negative trending space, you know. But for right now, it can change. It's just going to take some time. It's going to take more producers to step up and want to make more music that deals with that, you know, bring love to the music, you know, like how R&B used to be. Now, since R&B and rap is kind of fused together, it's kind of like you'll get hardcore rap song out of an R&B song now. So it's kind of, you know, it's just going to have to take the record labels and the producers to try to bring their focus to something that's good music, but able to be positive at the same time.
Well, and I also agree, and I disagree in a sense of the disparity in our community. So, you know, even though I've heard a lot of people speak on freedom of speech and how they are trying to take away your rights in regards of your music and to rap about what you want to rap about, and you end up in court and they use your music against you. But there are a lot of people who are doing music to glorify the violence that they're doing in their community and to people. So I understand both sides, and I do understand the structure of the music and how it turned from love and you know, unity and us battle rapping and it's peaceful and you don't have to worry about anyone dying to where it is today because we were raised in the same era. So I would like to know, how is that going to shift the disparity in the violence that's going on in our community? You know, how is the music going to shift from that?
It would shift if, like we were saying about the positive conversations. It all starts with a conversation because now a lot of older artists that's kind of in the whole space of trying to guide the newer artists, they are talking about the same thing on their podcasts. And, you know, these podcasts are very, very influential too nowadays. You know, they're kind of teaching people more in depth of what they had to learn from the music industry. You know, it's kind of like just like the whole topic of what we got going on, the elder circle. You know, it's got to be more talked about. It's got to be more brought up in conversations. It's got to be more brought up in the music. I know everybody's focus is the negative on their music because that's what they feel like they live. This is our pain. This is what I want. But then a lot of music is being ghostwritten by somebody else that's not even that person seeing and telling this story. So it would have to, even the writers have to step up to try to change the shift. You know, it, when it comes to all this, the killings and stuff, it will change, like I said, if the music change. If they don't talk about smoking op packs, you know, people won't be talking about doing that. You know, if I'm not kept on saying this is what I am, this is what I am, this is what I am, every song that you sing is usually like a chant. So it's kind of like mind manipulation because you say it over and over and over again. So then you end up being with your chanting over and over again. You know, anything you keep on saying, it's just like when they say about motivation, you sit there and do your affirmations every morning and you look in the mirror and you say the same thing over. It's the music. You know, if they chanting words and songs and phrases that's talking about destruction, that's all they believe in their head because that's all you see because your mouth is speaking it.
Miss Gray, you can come back, but I have a caller in the 770 area code. Caller, please state your name, where you calling from, and your question or comment.
Yeah, my name's Malcolm Hughes. I'm calling from outside of Atlanta, Georgia. My question, Michael, you touched on it a little bit, but I heard Ye discuss a quote recently saying that the music labels have unfair deals with the artists, and the artists need to come together and band together against those record labels in order to come up with a better, you know, a business deal, so to speak. And so who's at fault here with the business deal? First of all, do you think the artists will ever be able to come together? Because I'm concerned that we traditionally don't come together as a group, as a culture, as you young people say. And who's at fault? Is it the artists who sign these record deals in hope of becoming making millions? Is it the artists who promote this violence that you're talking about, gangster rap that you're talking about? Or is it the executive labels, and what can be done to change things? And you really touched on it a little bit, but what can be done to change things where you get more positive records out, you get better deals for the recording artists? If they don't come together, how can they come together?
So what they've been talking about for years, about since 2019, is they want to have a union. They want to have a set union with older artists and older, like a lot of black producers or people that did run their own independent labels where they were more helping for the artists. Because the thing is, it's all about the money. Like the artist, when he's signing these deals because he ain't never had no money. That's why they get them young, that don't know nothing. because once you know anything, oh, I need my mom or my lawyer to look at this. They don't really want you that much, because the less you know, the less that you will be able to do your job. You know, so what they're doing is they're getting these young people and people that don't know how to read contracts to sign these contracts and put them in deals where they have to do what they want them to do. So it's kind of the big wigs that's making this happen, because they know that just like when you're on your phone and you download an app, a lot of us don't even look at what that whole thing. They say read the agreement before you press agree. We always just go through that contract and press agree. We don't ever know what we're signing. You know, not everybody, but some people. I know I catch myself doing that all the time. I want this app. I'm just going to go and agree. So that's how they get people. They get people to sign deals the same way. They just put it in front of your face, tell you about some money, and then you'd be like, oh, okay. I'm going to get paid for what I've been doing. Now I can do it, and people are going to listen to it more. And the artists, a lot of artists are just artists. They're not out there promoting their stuff. The labels and the, like I said, the machine is promoting it. So they're pushing them out. Mostly a lot of artists are just there as the show person. They just writing their songs, or if they write them, they're just performing the song, putting the songs out, and they're just waiting for the machine to push what they have going on. And the machine's going to push what they believe, the management company, because I've been hearing about a lot of labels. They will sign you to the label, plus they'll sign you under their management deal, plus they'll sign you with their lawyers because you didn't have no money. And they feel like they're helping you, so they're all working together to take money from you. You know, so with the new thing that they keep on talking about a union, they're trying to get it. So a lot of artists get better contracts. They want to give them life insurance, not life insurance, but health insurance, because like a lot of the older artists, like Kool Herc and Melly Mel, they brought the pioneer of music out, but they didn't, after they was done, they didn't have nothing. Like no insurance, to health insurance in case they get hurt or none of that. They say it'll be hard because you have to get people together to be a part of it, but it's more of a, it's kind of like it has to be out there more to the artist as something that will help them in the long run, like with contracts and all that. You know, if they had a union band like they want, it would kind of help what's going on in the music industry. Plus, a lot of stuff nowadays is independent, because now you could just go in your room and make a whole album, put it out, and it's worldwide in like a month, or I mean, in like a week, and then or 10 days. And then after you do that, you just get on Facebook, and you have to get your followers up, and you could put all that out there. And there's different type of vehicles they have, like different distribution companies that independent artists could use. It's just a promotion, and that's why a lot of people use labels, is for the promotion and marketing, because that marketing part is the biggest part of everything we do, from our entrepreneur businesses to the music business to if you're doing videos or anything. So that's one thing that the labels have that a lot of independent artists cannot put their fingers on. So that's where if we was to band together, we can make better contracts for the artists that are in those major labels, you know. So people do want to do it, but they're going to keep on throwing that money out there to make a person be like, okay, I'll just take the money, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't need nobody to do it, because somebody will do that because they're still getting them at 17, 18 years old.
So other than the prospect of a union, is there any type of movement out there to educate these young people and to be a little bit wiser in the business dealings?
They're doing it like
you mentioned the Council of Elders, which is what I would attempt to do, is to educate the younger people so that they won't make the same mistakes. Is there any kind of movement out there like that in the record or business?
Like I was saying, they're trying to do it with the podcasts, just like how this one is. Okay. They're doing it like they talk about it a lot. Like that's how I've been hearing about that a lot, about having a hip hop union, because that's what. So they talk about it, but it's only the thing is the music is so array, it's so much music out there that a lot of people are not getting the word from that because they're listening to something else. So it has to be marketed. The word that we're talking about has to be marketed just as much as the people talking about the other stuff that that's out there. So if you get the right people, if you get the right the system to market with about the unions and the people doing the contract, that's kind of like what Kanye talking about. He want to put all the big head wigs inside of a room and have all these people that's making all this money, the players, the athletes, the rappers, to sit there in front of the lawyer, a real lawyer that has nothing to do with what they got going on, and read these contracts so they could renegotiate all their contracts. You know, so that's what he's trying to do, and they're trying to make it seem like he's crazy for wanting to do stuff like that, and they try to change what his narrative is, you know. Because I hear it, you know, a lot of stuff that he talk about is kind of like, wow, that would help, because it's about helping, like he said, helping people.
Right, right. We have a caller, in the 314 area code. Caller, would you state your name, where you calling from, your question or comment, please?
Yeah, it's Bianchi. How you doing? You know, interesting conversation. Those services do exist. And in most states, you cannot legally enter into a contract unless you're a certain age. But those services do exist. In dealing with contracts, you have to understand about qualifying your contract, basically stating that there's things that you will cover, things that you won't, things that you will do, and things that you won't do. But another thing that must be considered, and it probably is there now, but it's not out in the open, is that if artists are producers, artists had better need carry liability insurance, just like any producer does, whether it's Ford Motor Company, Chevrolet, Smith & Wesson, because what's going to happen, if it hasn't already happened, I think it has, when the product that you're putting out causes harm or injury or can be associated, and that defending lawyer can show it, you're going to be sued. You're going to be sued. So those that's out there producing this type of material, and if someone does something and is based on the encouragement or aspiration from what they hear or see, then those that produce that music, those that's producing that visualization, can be subject to liability, and they better well be covered in case that happens to arise. And I have seen it before, because I'm a long time ago, years ago, they had a movie where some young teenagers laid down on the center line of a highway on their backs on a dare. Well, in the movie, nothing happened to them. But some kids, young people, went out and done that in real life and got killed. And therefore, that movie maker was subjected to the liability and lawsuit. So I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, that's a great thing. They need to implement that part of their contracts when they start signing these contracts. You know, that sounds like something that would really help. And then, you know, because that's kind of what the fight that they've been having, been going on, because right now they have a thing inside court that the rappers are trying to pass a law that you cannot take our words that we say and put it against us in the court of law. That's what they're fighting for right now, because there are rappers that have went to jail over a song that they said, you know. So the rappers like Jay-Z and a couple other rappers are out there trying to push that thing to pass that law, so there won't be no way that you can put the song that I say, and even though I said I did this and I'm going to do this and I do it, you can't make me go to jail for that, because the that's the law that they're trying to pass. So I understand everything you're saying. They should implement that in five contracts when producer do it. But, you know, a lot of people that are producers, they're doing this stuff. Now music is so easy, you do it at home. So a lot of music people that do music do not have no money at all, you know. It looks good for the camera. It's like you're doing it for Instagram, but, you know, so it when it comes to the contracts, that's why they get the most naive person that's above age that just want money, because if they say, okay, we're going to give you $750,000 to sign this contract, you're not going to look at that. You're going to go, that's cool. I got $750,000, not knowing that you're stuck inside this contract for the rest of your life. I heard, because I've been doing a lot of research, a lot of artists, some artists have contracts that they'll never get out of because they have never made the money back that they got the advance from. So they're stuck in their deals, you know, and can't buy them out or none of that because they still haven't recouped from what they came in there with. So it's kind of a tricky game, and they've been playing this game for a long time, and that's why it would be good to get some lawyers that has nothing to do with that in the middle of this stuff to help a lot of these artists that's getting this money and getting all this fame and trying to push this narrative that they probably don't even believe in.
Right, right. Studio gangsters.
Yeah, because it's a lot of them now. It's so many. It's now because, like I said, it's a lot of people that's doing ghostwriting. So, you know, they're not even living the life that they're saying because those are not even their words that they got that they're saying. You know, anybody, how they look at it is called like artist development. They get an artist, they then you find out what genre we gonna put you in. Okay, let's see what audience you're gonna gravitate towards. You know, how can we market you? You know, music is kind of like wrestling. You know, you have to have some type of personality. You have to have a look, you know, and your look has to be marketable, you know. So that's all it is right now. So they get the person with the best look, and then you make an artist. You make anybody into an artist. All you have to do is have the best writers write it, just like a movie script.
Mm-hmm. You're right, right, right. Yeah, so... Yeah, that there's some people in my church choir could sing better than a lot of people that you hear on the radio. So just going along with what you're saying, you can package an artist so that you can make him a star or her a star. Michael, yeah. I'm concerned that nowadays a lot of the hip hop artists or the de facto leaders now, you know. We used to have Maya Angelou. Now we got Megan Thee Stallion, you know, talking. So any comments on that?
Man, and that's another crazy thing. There's a lot of, like, influential black women that's doing a lot of stuff, but they don't get the same recognition as Megan Thee Stallion, a Lotto. You know, they're part of that system. They're part of that machine. You know, they're pushing, this is their culture that they're trying to push, you know, because that's more marketable right now. But there are a lot of women artists that speak life into a lot of music and do a lot of stuff that's positive, that brings a whole different way to live, but they don't have them out there marketing because they're not marketable at this time. They're not going to make the money that they want the system to make because they haven't been pushing that agenda long enough, so it's not going to catch. So they're like, okay, we're going to keep on going with this. Now we've got little offsprings of this, you know, and it just makes a big pyramid because it all started from somebody. And then now everything just trickled down, and that's where the new generation is going. Like, a lot of people look and listen and want to be them characters. Like when you watch a TV show like the Kardashians or something, there's a lot of women that's outside looking like a Kardashian. You see a Megan Thee Stallion, there's a lot of girls that you'll see when you go to a mall or an event, and they all look like a Megan Thee Stallion, you know? A lot of people are more copycats than being their own people. But there is some women that's out there, like a Maya Angelou, that deals with music that would bring the culture out, you know, but they don't get the marketing because they're not part of that machine.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, back in the days of Motown and Stack and a couple of other labels own our music. In other words, we own our narrative. Seems like now we really don't own our narrative.
Motown is actually one of the biggest rap, hardcore rap labels out right now. It's called Quality Control. And Migos, the guy that just passed away, Takeoff, he was a part of Quality Control. He was actually signed to Motown.
Well, I mean Motown back when Berry Gordy owned it, you know.
Yes.
Back in the day. But now I think Viacom or somebody is taking it over, and it's not the same Motown that you grew up on.
Oh, no. That because the narrative had to be changed. They was like, no, we can't. It's too happy. You know, people are listening to happy music. We need to change this. That's what I kind of believe. So
right.
Because
so,
just like when early 90s, R&B was beautiful. You'll listen to some Babyface, Ralph Trasman. You'll listen to Mary J. Blige. You'll listen to all that. But now when you hear R&B music, it doesn't sound the same. It don't have that same feeling that it did when people were in love, you know? It's as rough as the rap. So they're trying to make everything so rough and rugged, and they're taking away the other feelings that people feel inside their body, like love and happiness.
So yeah, I'm wondering, number one, how are we going to take back our music and make it give life rather than giving death? And also, how can we – go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I'm listening. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, and also I was going to say, how can we shield our kids and grandkids from listening to this, some of this stuff? I don't even want to mention some of the words and some of the songs out there. If you listen to YouTube, you already know, but – how can we, you know, how can we take back over the music, and then how can you shield your kids from listening to some of this garbage that's out there now?
Okay, well, taking back the music, it goes with the marketing and the promotion. You have to promote that music. You have to push it. You know, you have to have your people that you, if you think this is some good music, you have to push it out there. You have to help people push it out there. You have to help get the word. Everybody that listen to music got to get that word out. Okay, this is a good song. We should push this one, you know, because it's just like they say, black people have the highest buying power. If we have the highest buying power, we'll have the highest promotion power too. If we all clicked on a song that's positive and that pushed that positivity out there, then that's the type of music we'll listen to because that's what we're pushing out to. You know, and when it comes to your kids, the thing is about that is everybody has to govern their own household. You know, there's moms that believe that that's all right. That's how they live. You know, they don't know no better. So they listen to it, so their kids going to listen to it. There's some parents that shield their kids from all that, and the kids ain't never heard none of it. You know, it's just in the inner city, that's what it's seen because it's just, more since it got cell phones and the internet is so fast, it looks like it's more than anything because you got the whole world tapping in talking about the same thing, you know. But everybody has to govern their own household.
Right. Okay. Well, Michael, I know that you're a lot more than, you know, a music person, but I thought some of the ideas that we're talking about today need to be out there, need to be heard, that a lot of people are becoming aware that of the impact of the music and that they are trying to do something about it, except there's not a lot of music companies, you know, like the major labels that's pushing good music. When I say good music, I mean music that would make someone want to go to school, you know, be a two-parent family, you know, get a good job, you know, be moral, you know, have integrity. It seems like somehow we're going to have to create a way, in a major way, to change the culture, because it kind of reminds me of that story about the Pied Piper. It's an old kind of a fairy tale story about the piper who the kids was listening to him, and he led them off a cliff, you know. So some of this music, mm-hmm. I think, is leading a lot of people off a cliff and into jails and the cemetery. So I don't have the answer, but maybe by somebody listening it might spark some. Who knows?
Man, that's all we try to do, at least spark something. Somebody might be listening that can make something happen, you know, because this is a great conversation. It's because at the end of the day, like you said, it is about the Pied Piper, you know. It's, you know, we made a deal, and now he's like, we can't take the kids. Because it's the younger generation that's the one that's promoting the music too, because they're the ones that listen to it. So if you make a good music for the younger generation to adapt to, then everything would change, you know. You know, make something that's why the radio only plays these type of music. It's part of their top 40. You know, you have to get the radio stations to play more positive music. You have to, first off, they have to make more positive music that sounds good enough for the people to want to gravitate to. So that's the hard, that's the biggest part right there, because a lot of people are so prone, and what's hot, what's trending right now is this sound. So if you can make this sound but make it positive at the same time, you know, it probably will work, but it has to be marketed. It has to be promoted. It has to have people listening to it for it to go get any legs and go anywhere.
Right, right, right. Well, I think that a lot of people are waking up. This stuff started probably around early, you know, with the Chronic and NWA and that genre kind of kicked it off. That was in what, 2000 or something?
80-something. About the Chronic, I think, was 99. It was in the 90s.
Late 90s. So that kind of kicked.
Because NWA been out since the 80s, though. So, but when the Chronic and Dr. and Snoop Dogg, that's the 90s. So they seen the profit, the profit dollars go up. They were like, oh yes, and we seen that. Okay, now we could glorify it. Okay, and now it's like 3, 4, 5, 4 generations of music later. So now this is where we're at. You know, this is the most deadliest time in rap history. You know, ever. This like the deadliest time in rap history. And that's what needs to change, you know, because it's getting out. It, like they say, it's getting out of hand, because now anything, they like, okay, we're just going to target this. Because even though a lot of the situations from all these artists getting passing away and getting killed and everything, it's not like they're all just like a separate incident where it's just happening because somebody made it happen. They're all happening different ways, you know. Some happen because they are rappers. Some happen because they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. So, you know, it's not all like this is what's happening, but that's how the media is making it seem like, oh, you're a rapper, you're going to die. Like, oh, no, it's not that. It's this. He got put in a messed up position. He got put in a messed up position. He was put in a messed up position all different times in different ways. You know, it just seems like, and plus there's so many rappers like NBA players, you know, and soccer players. There's so many of them. Because nowadays,
we have a caller in the 650 area code that pressed the number one. Would you state your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment, please?
My name is Dawn Jackson. I just want to thank Michael because it's nice that there's someone in the industry that's level-headed and could really be a mentor to make a positive impact in the industry.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay,
well received.
All right, Don, did you have a question or comment, or is that that's all you want to say? I guess so, okay. Yeah, well, Michael, now you have a hauling company we talked about a little bit. Tell us a little bit about that. We got a few more minutes. You do hauling for folks that are moving or cleaning up or.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I have a company named SB Hauling. SB Hauling, we're here for all your hauling needs. We do junk hauling. We master in junk hauling. So if you're trying to clean out your backyard, you're trying to clean out your garage, you need everything gone, just call SB Hauling. You know, we specialize in a lot of junk hauls. There's no job too big, no job too small. You know, we just come and get anything you need, clean it out, make you feel like you ain't even, it was never there, you know. And then we serve the Sacramento area. We can serve the Northern Cali area. We are expanding. It's actually
What's
a beautiful thing. Actually,
what
after this, I'm actually about to go do a job right after this.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and if somebody wanted to contact me.
Yeah.
If you like to contact me, that is Michael S.B. Holland at 916-968-4138. That again is 916-968-4138. That's Michael Briggs of S.B. Holland. We have, like I said, we're in Sacramento. We schedule a pickup anytime, you know, just call when you're ready to do any type of wintertime cleanup, turning over houses. If you're a real estate worker, I mean, if you buy a house, buy and sell houses, you can call and you're doing a house flip, you need all that stuff hauled away, just let me know. If you're tearing up your front yard and you need that concrete gone, just let me know. Any type of job you have, just, you know, we're here to haul your junk.
All right. And then you got DJ business where you're doing weddings and other events. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Maybe can they contact you for both things?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I have Show Boss Entertainment. And Show Off Entertainment and Film. I do DJing. So I go by the name, it's your boy Tent Mac, or Tent Mac in the Mix, TintMak. You can Google the name and you will see a lot of the music I do. When it comes to DJing, I've been doing a lot of stuff for the community. I helped out on the back to school backpack drive that Barry Atkins put together. You know, I helped on the event that they was doing electrical car for letting people test drive electrical cars from SMUD. I thank DJ One Gone for all them different opportunities he gave me. You know, he's a real great person. You know, I have did a lot of stuff with the community DJing. You know, I have DJed at the African Market, the Florin Town Square on Florin and 24th Street on first Sundays for the African Market. You know, I have done that. So you might see me in random places. If there's music playing, sometimes it probably is me. So if you need to reach out on me on that, you can call the same number, 916-968-4138. That again is 916-968-4138. And that's if you have any inquiries about DJing.
All right, all right. Well, Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know there's a lot more that we could talk about. We kind of got on the music industry, which is really trending now with what some of the people are saying. And people want to know about it and want to talk about it. So, but maybe next time we can talk about some of your other businesses and so forth. But let me just say that I want to thank you again for coming on. Let me just mention, hardly ever mention, I am a life insurance person. I sell life insurance, long-term care insurance. I help you with retirement income planning and legacy planning. And my number is 916-667-4974. I repeat that, 916-667-4974. You can always give me a call. You can listen to this show again by going to blogtalkradio.com and then putting in the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show. And then scroll down to our green and white logo for today's date, November 5th, 2022. So with that, Michael, thanks again for coming on the show today.
Yes.
It's been a great talking with
you. May I say one more thing?
Yes, sir. Okay,
so like how we were just having the conversation about putting the good positive music out there. Right now, like I said earlier, at the beginning of the show, is I own a radio station. It's the radiostation.live. If you have any positive music that you would like to get played on a platform, you can send your music to the radiostation.live tm@gmail.com. Send me your MP3s. We play all music, positive music. We were just having a conversation on how to change it. We have to start somewhere. So if anybody has any positive music that they would like to get played on a platform where they could hear that music played on a 24-hour radio station, played in over 130 countries, you can get in touch with me. Like I said again, the easier way to get in touch with me is at tentmac@gmail.com. That again is tentmac@gmail.com. Send me your MP3s. Put with your name, your name, the song name, and you know, a little bit of description about what the song is telling, and then we can get your music played on the radiostation.live.
All right. Are your phone number again, Michael, in case they want to call you?
Yeah, and if you need the music, need my phone number for anything, for hauling and or DJing, or you know, you need to do some music, you want to get your music played on the radio, you can call me at 916-968-4138. That again is 916-968-4138. And that is Michael Briggs, a.k.a. Tint Mac, T-I-N-T-M-A-K.
All right. Well, thanks again, Michael, for coming on the show today. And I look forward to having you back one day if you have the time.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
everybody.
I'm about to get moving right when I'm over this. I'm about to get moving right after this.
All right. Okay, everybody. Thanks for calling in today. Tune in next week, same time, same number. God willing, we'll see you next week with another exciting guest. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.